And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joseph Cooper, unfortunately, still recovering from a back injury. And we wish him well and hope to have him back very soon. Today, we consider the future of the Miami-Dade County Public Transportation System. Joining us in the studio is the mayor of Miami-Dade County, Mayor Carlos Jimenez. Welcome. Thanks for your time.
It's my pleasure.
Also, we've had a last-minute change. We were to have Alexander Heckler from LSN Partners, but we're joined by Yasella Yort. She is the director of Miami-Dade Transit, and we welcome you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. And we're also joined by regular contributor Dan Ricker. Dan's the publisher of the independent online watchdog report, now celebrating its 15th year of publication. Welcome back, Dan.
Always a pleasure, Bonnie.
Good to see you. Well, with escalating traffic congestion everywhere in our county at any time of the day or night, plans are afoot aimed at easing that problem in some areas. We'll begin with the Baylink project. Mayor Jimenez, I read that you're making this one of your top priorities. So what is the Baylink project, and how vulnerable is it to political forces?
Everything in this town is vulnerable to political forces. And so is it vulnerable to political forces? Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the Baylink was somewhat controversial on Miami Beach when it was proposed some years ago, and it's been really on the drawing boards for a number of years. Goes all the way back and probably beyond 2002 when the original People's Transportation Plan was passed by the people of Miami-Dade County. Baylink was one of the projects in it. And there was some contention in Miami Beach whether they wanted it or not. Baylink basically is a mass transit solution, a connection between downtown Miami and Miami Beach. My vision of Baylink goes beyond that. It's a mass transit solution that not only gets you from Miami to Miami Beach, but allows you to move around in Miami Beach and allows you to move around in downtown when you get there. And so the infrastructure is in place in the downtown area, the city of Miami. You have Metro Mover, you have the Metro Rail. The city of Miami has a trolley system. The city of Miami is also looking at a streetcar system in that'll basically ride Brickell downtown up to Midtown. Miami Beach doesn't have that kind of infrastructure. And
right.
And so I think it's vitally necessary. It's necessary for the future of our community to have these two centers of our economy linked together, and so that the people that live, work, and play in Miami and Miami Beach can do that in a very fluid fashion.
Well, one question I have is that there are so many people on Miami Beach already. It's so crowded. Parking is such an issue. Mm-hmm. If you have more people coming to Miami Beach, what about parking and traffic and that kind of congestion?
Exactly why we need something like a Baylink, so that the people coming to Miami Beach don't have to go in a car. People that are in Miami Beach don't have to have a car. They need a good public transportation solution on the beach. That's why you need it.
So who conducted the poll that shows that 80% of Miami Beach residents are in favor of the system?
I really don't know. I would think that after living there for a while, and facing the traffic, that you see on the beach, that most of the residents of Miami Beach know that it's vitally important that they get a good public transportation solution. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to leave their cars, but if you get
right,
you know, 20% of the people. If you actually give them a viable alternative, a large number will not have to use a car, will not. You know, what's interesting is that the younger generation is much more, especially down here, is much more at ease not owning a car, using some other modes of transportation to get around than, you know, the ones that have been here for a long. I've been here for about over 50 years, and we're kind of, you know, used to our cars, and that's the way we get around. And so as the population grows in Miami, Miami Beach, and as we have a lot of our young professionals choose to stay here, it's vitally important that we provide them some kind of public transportation. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be an easy thing to happen. Number one, the cost.
Right.
Okay, who's going to pay for it? How's it going to be paid? How much of it is going to come out of the state? How much will come out of the local, you know, us? And I'm more and more convinced as time goes on that although we may look to the federal government for some help, if you rely on the federal government for that kind of help, you're going to be waiting for a long time. And so it's up to the state and the local governments to provide the solutions needed to make their communities viable.
And Bonnie, Baylink originally was political. David Dermer, who was the mayor of Miami Beach at the time, made stopping it one of his keynote issues.
And what were his reasons for stopping it?
A combination of cost, how it was, you know, would it be light rail, heavy rail, the mechanism, and whether or not the beach needed it. But it's, you know, I think the mayor is correct in the sense that a lot of early on, a lot of the transportation, be it the Citizens Independent Transit Trust, they used to plug in, say, 50% or 45% federal funding as matching some of these things. And we know now that, you know, Congress and the federal government really is much more stringent. We don't have the appetite after, you know, the last, you know, 5-8 years as far as even with all the new fuel-efficient cars, we're getting less gas tax for road infrastructure, which is another little ripple.
And Yasello?
Well, if I could weigh in a little bit,
please.
Here. I think that one of the things that's going to be really important in order to build the public's support for this project is to build a system that's in line with the community. Frankly, something that's proportionately built to the community. And I know that the mayor wants a system that's very reliable. We've talked about that. Matter of fact, the mayor heads up a committee of local elected officials who are working with this project to make sure that it makes sense, not only in dollars and cents, but in sense in terms of how it fits into the community. It's when you see light rail systems in some of the urban areas around the country and the world, you can either have them fit into what the community is and wants to be, or you can have them be obtrusive. And I think it's going to be really important, particularly in the Miami Beach area, to build consensus, to have a Thomas system that's easy to hop on, hop off, that's not. I think earlier they had some systems, Mayor, that had overhead catenary systems,
right,
that were visually intrusive.
Right.
That's not the type of project that you can build now with a new technology. And so it'll be really nice to build something that becomes a part of the landmark as opposed to fighting the area.
One other thing is, we were talking about car traffic and all that, but what about pedestrian traffic? I mean, you can hardly walk on Lincoln Road. You can hardly walk on Ocean Drive. So what about having, you know, easy access from Miami? I mean, how would that...
That's all part of the studies, and what you want to do is you want to have less vehicles. You want to have your mobility. You want to have the ability to move up and down the beach and get back to downtown fairly easily. We want to become a much more pedestrian-friendly town, and so when you look at these projects, some of these are quite transformational. I saw an example of a streetcar, basically a light rail system that was done in, I believe it was in Barcelona, that basically, you know, made wider sidewalks, allowed for the flow of traffic, and also for the flow of pedestrians, because that was very, very important to them. And so, you know, as Isela said, the whatever system that we develop here has to be, you know, centric to Miami's needs, Miami Beach, and downtown Miami's needs. Make it also easier for, remember, a lot of our tourists end up on the beach too. And so if they come once and they find, hey, we can't get around here because it's just traffic here is horrendous.
Right.
So, you know, part of the vision that I have about this project, and I'm sure it's the same with Mayor Reilado and Mayor Levine on the beach, is that if we don't do something, that we can also start to choke off one of our major industry, which is tourism, especially on the beach, because it becomes such a hassle to move around that it's no longer fun to go to the beach. It's a hassle. And so we've got to take that in consideration. And that's why, you know, when you said it was one of my major projects, the number one project that I have to make sure that happens is we have to do something about the Miami Beach Convention Center. It has to be renovated. It has to be brought up to speed, up to today's standards. It has to be state-of-the-art. It doesn't have to be bigger, but it does have to be state-of-the-art because we're losing a lot of business. Number two is this project, which is Baylink. How do we make it seamless so that you can go from downtown Miami to Miami Beach and back and forth, because those will be the two centers, the two big centers that we have of commerce and of our economy lie in downtown Miami and Miami Beach, we have to make sure that they're viable centers in the future.
Well, isn't the city of Miami also considering a convention center having their own, and would that compete with some of that traffic to Miami Beach?
The one of the things we have to take consideration is that there is on the drawing board a convention conference center, large one, on drawing boards for downtown Miami. And one of the things that we have to look at is actually putting the two together. In other words, making them complementary, not competitive. And so I look at that having those two centers having two different kinds of clientele. The conference center, more conference kind of clientele, although a large convention conference center, whereas conventions and high-end conventions will end up on Miami Beach. The hotel inventory will be increasing, most more so on the downtown Miami side, because attached to that large proposed convention conference center is also an 1,800-room hotel, which will be, I believe, the largest hotel in Florida, certainly in Miami-Dade, much bigger than what we have right now. So, yeah, those are things that have to be considered as we put this project together.
It's Topical Currents. We're talking about the future of public transportation in Miami-Dade County with the mayor of Miami-Dade County, Mayor Carlos Jimenez, with Yesela Yort, who's the director of Miami-Dade Transit, and with Dan Ricker, who's the publisher and editor of the online Watchdog Report. Let's take a break. We're going to open the phones and take emails when we return. Stay with us. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. We're talking about the future of public transportation in Miami-Dade County, the Bayling, all aboard Florida. We're speaking, Bonnie Berman with you. We are speaking with Mayor Carlos Jimenez, the mayor of Miami-Dade County. Dan Ricker is the publisher of the Watchdog Report, and Yesela Yort is the director of Miami-Dade Transit. If you'd like to join in the conversation, our number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-WLRN. Email is radio@WLRN.org. Yesela, you were saying during the break about tying how downtown is now tied to the airport and how this would tie that to Miami
Beach.
Correct.
I mean, that's one of the beauties is that you would actually tie in downtown Miami to the beach, to the airport. And, of course, tying into all kinds of amenities in downtown through the, not only through the Metro, but through the Metro Mover.
Right.
So you can tie into Museum Park. You can tie into Vizcaya on the Metro Rail. So you're for once making, integrating the community points. You know, one of the great things, transit does three great things. It moves people. It ties places together, and it creates economic opportunities for growth. And these type of projects are fundamental to all three.
What kind of economic impact are we talking about with the Bayling project? Do we have any politically neutral?
We don't have a number, but it obviously any business, et cetera, that's on the line, you can enhance housing opportunities that are on the line. You can enhance business opportunities because then they'll have enhanced traffic due to the fact it's connected one side to the other. So on both sides of the bay, you have enhanced economic opportunities. We see, a great example is the city center project that's in Brickell. That project, one of our Metro Mover stations is actually integrated into that project, and they chose that site and wanted us to participate in it because of that station that's there that allows basically the entirety of downtown and Brickell to access that center. So that's transit is a great economic development stimulator, especially if you're either on the line or close to it.
I'm just wondering, I was in Brickell recently and the traffic is horrendous with mm-hmm. this construction.
Right.
So let me ask you, this Bayling project, first of all, would it be the MacArthur Causeway, the Julia Tuttle Causeway, or both that you're thinking of using?
Actually, that's being looked at right now. The preferred one, actually, if we're going to have one, it'd probably be the MacArthur because it'd take you into South Beach, probably easier to get to the convention center from there. But there's possibilities of linking that all the way and coming back on the Julia Tuttle and then connecting Midtown, that area. So you can connect Midtown, where the Fountain Blue area of the Miami Beach right. is, down to South Beach and then down downtown and kind of make that big square. That's being looked at. All of this obviously costs money, and so one of the things you have to look at, what is it that we want to do? What are the ridership potentials of any of these right. Routes? I'm sorry. And then, all right, and also what's the methodology? What kind of technology do you use? One of the things that I'm looking at is that technology is changing so fast that we want to make sure that whatever it is that we use is not outdated by the time that it actually gets built.
So what is this catenary?
Well, catenary is actually on a streetcar. In the old streetcars, you had the overhead power. These are all electric vehicles, and so they grab the power overhead from overhead lines. Nowadays, some systems use a catenary when it's out in the open and then nobody cares, you know, to see the overhead lines. But in the urban environment, I was in Bordeaux, France, where they actually catch the power from the ground itself. And then the line is only energized when the train is over the rail. Pretty interesting system. So you don't see a catenary system. Basically, the train grabs the power from the rail. But if you step on it, in other words, when the train's not there and you're actually stepping over the rail, mm-hmm. It's not energized. And so, you know, it's safe that way. So those are the new technologies that we're looking at. But also, you know, recently read about Google and driverless cars. And when that happens, that it'll completely revolutionize transit also. But you could also have driverless trains. And so, you know, in 30, 40 years from now, I think we'll be getting around in different modes of transportation that we haven't even thought about today.
Well, we want to go to All Aboard Florida, but we want to talk to Mark in Hollywood. As our first caller, Mark, welcome. You're on Topical Currents.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I had a question. How does the taxi lobby or the rental car business industry, how do they play into the discussion on the public transportation? And second, I just wanted to make a point. I've lived here all my life, and I have a property in downtown Miami. But I have frequent friends who visit South Beach and have properties there, but they rarely visit downtown Miami because their only interest is the beach. But if they had a system that were connecting them, they would receive a lot more business in downtown Miami. And that's it. I'll take my answers off the air.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
Well, you talked about the lobby. It's interesting because one of the reasons I'm told that the original Metrorail did not go to the airport was because of that lobby.
That was a taxi cab.
The taxi right. cab lobby. Right. All right. Well, we have connected it now to the airport. The lobby is still there. You know, if you've read recently, also I've been a champion of trying to get new technologies and new kind of companies to come in to provide services to the residents of Miami-Dade. Such as Uber, maybe this Lyft concept. Although at this point, our codes don't allow it. We need to change the code to allow, you know, our residents to utilize these new technologies. The taxi cab industry and the lobby will be fighting it, you know, all the way.
So you're going to give Uber another shot?
I'm going to give, absolutely. I mean, we need to come into the 21st century. I can't believe, you know, we really, our codes are in the 19th and 20th century, and we need to come into the 21st century. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not a place for taxi cabs. There is a place for taxi cabs, but they need to come in to, you know, and to make it, and we need to be customer-centric, not company-centric. And that's what, you know, I'm about. I want to make sure that, you know, the customer is number one and not the company. And so we'll be, you know, pushing forward new legislation, new codes that will allow for these new technologies to come to Miami-Dade, and so that our people, you know, our residents, can use the technology that's being used all around the world. In all the major cities around the world, you know, you can get your phone. You can, hey, I want Uber, I want Lyft, I want this, I want that. You know, you can get it, except here in Miami. And that, to me, doesn't make any sense, especially since we are positioning ourselves as a tech center And we are, you know, I'm constantly going out trying to get companies to come in and say, we want to be a tech center. We want to be the next Silicon Valley. In other words, we want Silicon Valley to one day to say, we want to be Miami. And it's pretty tough for us to do that when, in effect, we turn down, you know, these 21st century, you know, solutions to mobility.
What would be the environmental impact of the Bay Link? Has that been studied, or is that being studied?
There's always an environmental impact study done. That's a human environmental impact, but there's also environmental impact in terms of what it does to the environment.
Right.
You're looking at most likely some kind of electric kind of technology, which will have, you know, no emissions, very clean. And so we have to jump that hurdle before we put anything, you know, down on the ground and start constructing, right, Isel?
Right, and that will be the next step, actually, Bonnie. We will have to do an environmental study, not only looking at the built environment, but looking at the natural environment. You're going to go over a causeway, one or the other, and so it's going to be very important to look at everything.
You know, if you look at some of the mass transit systems around the world, I happen to live in Tokyo, where you have 25 million people between there and Yokohama. Do we have the population density here to really sustain? I mean, the director of transit last week at her budget hearing was talking about how perhaps Metro Mover, they might, you know, would be nice if they could charge, because it's a freebie right now, and it is eroding into the revenues that are available.
I was actually talking that it's going to be important to keep up Metro Mover to what it needs to be in order to really support the type of development that we're seeing in downtown Miami. If Metro Mover is going to be the transportation spine of downtown Miami, and it is, then we're going to have to continue to improve it, and that costs money. So that's the deal.
Go ahead.
No, in terms of what Dan was talking about, density, and that's why, really, if you think about it, downtown Miami, Miami Beach, those are probably two of the densest areas that we have. These are our job centers, and these are where a lot of people are living, or actually are planning to live, because we have a lot of more additional projects in downtown Miami, not only commercial, but more and more so residential projects where people will be living and working and playing basically in downtown in Miami Beach. That's why it's important for this Bay Link project, because it is where our two centers of density are. Mm-hmm. And so in the future, what we need to look at is how do we connect our centers of density together? And so we have another one in downtown Coral Gables. We have Doral. We have Kendall, and there's it's pretty dense down there. A lot of people are commuting from Kendall to some other place. That's where we need to start putting our resources, and then obviously the northeast side, Aventura and those areas, that is the number two area where people are commuting to and from, is Aventura. Right now it's not being serviced by anything, but hopefully it will be in the future if we get this All Aboard Florida project going.
Originally back in 2002, specifically Commissioner Barrera was pushing for perhaps a full 1 cent sales tax versus the half cent, because he felt that given some of the things we were promising, it wouldn't give us enough bang for the buck in revenue. Are you with this expansion and with the 30-year-old Metro Rail now, have you given any thought to trying to go for that extra half cent? Or are you,
Dan? I think more that when we propose a project and that the area that's going to benefit from it, to say, look, we're going to do this project and we need this in order to get this project done, instead of having, okay, a 1 cent, and then the problem that we got with a half cent is that we promised 8 different projects and we only delivered one half of one. We did deliver more in terms of bus services and all that, but the operation and maintenance just stayed up, and you couldn't, and because there was a line that was supposed to go out west, there was a line that was supposed to go up right. 27th Avenue, there was a line that was supposed to go down south, and Bay Link was supposed to be part of it, and you know what? It just... The problem with going back to the community and say, look, we need another half cent, is that we failed miserably to deliver on the promises of the first half cent.
Right.
And I'm not gonna do and say, hey, give me another half cent. No, I won't do that. But I will do this. I will say, look, here's Bay Link. Here's what we're proposing. Here's what it's cost. This is in this area. We need this amount in order to make that happen. All right, now we're going to go west. We're going to go west to Kendall. Okay, here, this is what's going to cost, this is what it's going to be, and this is what we need in order to make that happen. And you make it project specific instead of this overall promises of everything in the world, and then you can't deliver on it. So here's the thing. We know how much it's going to cost. We promise, well, we will make this happen with this and do it basically one at a time versus the overall scheme of the half cent where they promised the world. And frankly, I think that they knew that they couldn't deliver on it. They just wanted that half cent. I can't do that with a straight face. I can't do that.
We have lots of callers. I'm going to ask you all to be patient, please, because we need to take another break, and emailers that we're going to get to. But we need to take a break on Topical Currents, talking about the future of public transportation here. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you. We're discussing the future of public transportation in Miami-Dade County with the mayor of Miami-Dade County, Mayor Carlos Jimenez. Dan Ricker is the publisher and editor of the online Watchdog Report, and Yasella Yort is the director of Miami-Dade Transit. We have an email. It's quite long, so I'm going to, because it's very interesting, from Leah. About 2 weeks ago, the County Commission's Finance Committee held a hearing on the budget for next year. Several people, including me, came to speak during the public comments portion asking the Commission to prioritize transit in next year's budget. The only commissioner present at this meeting, Commissioner Bovo, made a 3.5-minute speech after our comments. Some of his comments are excerpted below. I'd like to have Mayor Jimenez's reaction to this defeatist attitude expressed by Commissioner Bovo, who said, "You know, there is a sad reality about Miami that we have a car culture," somebody else stated earlier. "It's unfortunately in our DNA. We struggle with those things, but understand that many people come to Miami to make Miami their home, come from the South, and the first taste of freedom for somebody is a vehicle. The vehicle is the first experience of that freedom where they left from where they came from, wherever they came from. We will not see, I will not see in my lifetime, I don't think my children will see in their lifetime, a transit system that goes east and west, that links different parts of our county with places that people want to go. I don't think so. I hope I'm gravely mistaken, but at the current pace and current dialogues that we're having and the sentiment in our community, I don't see it happening." With that, we're going to segue into more road construction. Mayor Jimenez?
In some areas of town, you can't have any more road construction because we're already built out. It's a built environment. If anybody thinks that we're somehow everybody's going to chuck their cars tomorrow, that's not going to happen either. So it has to be a balanced approach. We have to have in areas where they need additional roads and the infrastructure that is not there for public transportation, that has to be created, because one of the things that we have to do is create different mobility options. Remember, it's about options. And so I believe that in my lifetime, I will see something going out west, because it's vitally necessary. When I get out of my office 6-7 o'clock at night, and I look out, and my office is the government center, and as I get on the elevators, it looks out west, directly west, and the things I see is a line of cars, little red lights, okay, backed up all the way to 95, and that means that somebody's stuck in that traffic if they're going to go all the way out west for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours a day. Okay, coming 2 hours a day, coming and leaving, that's 3 to 4 hours a day. Could be 15 to 20 hours a week that you're in a car. You're burning gas. You're doing all things that, you know, that you really don't want to be. You'd rather be home or be at your work. That is a tremendous loss of productivity, a tremendous loss of resources, and we have to do something about it. Now, how to pay for it? That's the problem, I think, that Commissioner Bovo was getting. How are we going to pay for this? I think, unfortunately, Miami-Dade County blew its opportunity in 2002 by not completing the plan, by not fulfilling its promise. And so a lot of people are skeptical. Now government's going to ask me, and that's why I think it's a project by project, and you do this one thing at a time. You get that project done. You pay for it with a dedicated source of money. It may come from the areas that are going to be affected, all right, and not overall, that pay a little more.
You're saying the residents of the district.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, that are getting the main benefit of that service are the ones that may have to, or the businesses in that area, et cetera. I mean, we haven't, you know, discussed the funding yet, but It's necessary in this town because whenever a company comes to relocate here, and by the way, we have a lot of interest in people that want to relocate here. Talk about two things: education, and our educational system has actually made, has gone up leaps and bounds, and in the last 10-15 years, and transportation. How do I get my workers to and from?
But Mr. Mayor, here's something that people have asked me a lot about who use the bus system, mass transit. How come? I mean, I know why, but our bus stops down here aren't enclosed, and yet we live in the tropics. And I know each municipality has the control of that, but I mean, isn't there some way to get some kind of uniform shelter so that these people, in the middle of some of the thunderstorms, aren't sitting there waiting? And I mean, it's one of the ironic things because we're asking people. We're trying to increase ridership and some of the other things, but I mean, it's always surprised me. That
you would be surprised at one of the reasons why we don't have some bigger shelters and why we have some bus benches instead of shelters. Part of it is ADA requirements. Do you have enough space to put a shelter there and then allow for ADA compliance? Okay, and the wheelchairs. Now I've always thought, well, why don't we enclose them more? Because in some of the thunder showers, you're right. I mean, even the ones that have a shelter, with the wind blowing and everything, everybody's going to get soaked inside the shelter. So we need to do a better job of that. And a uniform, that's a good idea. How do we do that? So at least that you're sheltered 90% of the time, even though in some of these, thunderstorms where the winds are blowing 40 miles an hour, it's difficult to do. But that is a great idea. The other idea is to using technology, using smartphones, is so that you don't have to be out in the shelter. You can be somewhere else and then actually get there a minute or two before the bus actually arrives, not having to wait endlessly for a bus that may be coming and you don't know when it's coming.
Right.
That also will help.
Also assumes you have the technology. You have the income.
Yeah, but more and more people have that technology. Most. More and more phones are smartphones, and more people are buying those smartphones. And so in the very near future, I think the vast majority of the people will have those kind of phones, will have that kind of technology that then we can communicate with them and tell them, okay, their bus is going to be there in 2 minutes. Go ahead and go out and to the shelter or go to on the bench. It's going to be there in 10 minutes. Maybe I can go have a little cortadito or a little pastry, at the shop. While I'm waiting for the bus, and the bus is be here, and we know. The one thing we can't do with a bus is be early. As long as it's a minute or two late, you're fine. But that's the kind of technology that I'm asking the director to look at so that we can communicate better with the people that are using our mass transit to make it more convenient for them.
We have lots of calls. Kenneth has been waiting for a long time in Kendall. Kenneth, welcome to Topical Currents.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Thanks for taking my call. Actually, you all kind of hit on some of the points that I was calling about. I grew up and was raised here in Miami-Dade County. I'm in my 30s, so I've had my experiences with catching the bus, while in high school to work and, just getting around town. It's ineffective. I have friends that come from different, parts of the world. I visited Asia and have their transportation system, and it works seamlessly. So my question, someone who was born and raised here, who's looking to do business and stay here, why should I be convinced that this is not another failed project, say like the busway that comes here in Kendall? I mean, you can sit there for an hour and hardly see a bus go by. It's not effective. And if I want to work and do business in downtown Miami or the Midtown area or Miami Beach and I want to have clients come in, how do I get them from Kendall to that area in a timely matter? Like the mayor said, I'm one of those cars that you see in my red light sitting on the 836 for an hour or 2 hours or whatnot. Mm. Why should I have any confidence, even if you're talking about doing specific projects or areas? Why, as I, a resident of Miami-Dade County for 30 years, over 30 years, have any confidence that the next 10, 20 years, I'm going to bank on that, being successful, put my business and my, my career interests in Miami-Dade County improving this transit system when it hasn't?
Kenneth, you bring up a good point, because the only way that people who have choices jump on a bus is when the bus is more convenient. It's
Absolutely.
Not just about money, it's about convenience. And one of the things that we are working on at the mayor's bequest is the same issue that he brought up, which is giving you the information that you need in order not to waste time, because time is the most precious of all things. We want you to know before you leave your home. We want you to know before you leave your place of work where the bus is going to be at the bus stop that you're going to take it. And then we want you also to know where the bus is that you're going to be transferring to, so that you're not wasting any time along your voyage. And with those types of amenities and public support systems, all of a sudden it becomes a much better choice. Let me give you an anecdote, because it's kind of interesting. You know, I fear days like today when it's raining and thundering, because I know for sure that we're going to lose the Metro Mover for a couple of minutes, and we're mm-hmm. going to lose some other service just because lousy weather is not really good for trains. And people, of course, call and complain when Metro Rail or Metro Mover is not on time. But let me tell you, the day that I received the most calls and complaints, it was the day that the information system that tells the users about real-time arrivals was down. Mm. Because then people mm-hmm. didn't know when they would have to get to the train station. And after a while, when you have good information, it's not about how often the service runs. It's about having the information to get to the point that you need to be in order to take transit. It makes all the difference. It's a total game changer. And that's what we were working on. And we want to be able to provide it to you.
Mayor Jimenez, did you want to comment?
That's you know, what I was touching on. It's information. Getting the information to the people that are using the system, and not making, you know, and not having them waste time just waiting for a bus or a train that will come 10, 15, 20 minutes later. That's not what we want to do. As long as you know the information, hey, the bus, you know, I'll sit and wait for a minute, or I'll sit and wait for 2 minutes, but I really am here just wasting my time if it takes 20 minutes. And how we connect and you know, where the connections are, all that is vital to a good transportation system. We don't have a great transportation system. We don't have the legacy system like New York City, where I think they have like 300, you know, miles of track. We don't have that. We have 17, maybe 20 miles of track. That's it. They were lucky to construct it at a time when it wasn't that expensive to build. Like I told you, I mean, I guess off the air, for us to build a system that takes a metro rail, let's say a metro rail from Government Center, let's say out to 137th Avenue in Kendall, it's at least $2 to $3 billion, $1 billion just for the capital. Okay, and so those aren't cheap. It's not cheap to come by. If we had it at our disposal something like $60 billion, then we could start tomorrow and build a pretty decent, you know, transit system, okay, or transportation or mass transit system with Metro Rail and Metro Mover.
Kenneth, thank you for calling.
We don't have $60 billion, unfortunately, right now. Yes.
We need to take one more break, and when we come back, Mark in Miami Gardens, please, I know you've been very patient, but we will take your call. We're talking about the future of public transportation on today's Topical Currents. We'll be right back. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents, Future of Public Transportation. Bonnie Berman with you, speaking with Mayor Carlos Jimenez. He's the mayor of Miami-Dade County. And we're speaking with Yesela Yort, who is the director of Miami-Dade Transit, and Dan Ricker, who is the publisher of The Watchdog Report. Let me just talk to Mark in Miami Gardens, as promised, and then we're going to go to you, Dan. Go ahead, Mark. You're on Topical Currents. Welcome.
Thanks, and good afternoon. How are you doing, everyone? I've heard some interesting comments, and really I haven't heard anything that gives me any confidence in this new project. The truth of the matter is that Miami-Dade Transit, especially the Metro, doesn't serve a large, vast number of the population. You know, you're trying to put something on Miami Beach and downtown Miami, but North Dade is just abandoned. You know, people with residents of North Dade and South Dade cannot take advantage of the system that you have in place as far as getting all day pass, because TV machines are just simply not available in an all day area. Now, you may have them at a few select stores, a few check cashing places, but that's not convenient. And even if you did have the information system working, if I live 6 blocks away from that bus stop, or 10 blocks from that bus stop, knowing when they're coming, it may be helpful, but But, you know, knowing that, if, you know, that's not really what the answer was. Can I depend on it to show up on a regular schedule time? And do I have to sit out there for an hour? Sitting home for an hour and sitting on the bus stop for an hour, it's still waiting an hour. You know, I hear what you're saying, but I just don't know why we want to put so much money into taking care of the tourists. And I heard the mayor said we want to take care of the residents, but you're not taking care of us. You're taking care of people who's going to come, stay, spend a little money, and leave. The residents are here 24 hours, 7 days a week. And I think we deserve a little service, too, because we pay taxes, we ride the bus, and we the people who ride the bus the most, but we're the ones not getting the service.
Mayor?
Well, the reason why you want to take care of those centers are because those are the centers that create jobs. And those are the jobs that are held by our residents. And so we want to make sure that the job creation...
Those are low-wage jobs. So let's not make it sound like these people are making a ton of living. You know, you got a bunch of people out of making $8, $9, $10 an hour.
Sir, that's a great argument that I hear all the time. But you know what? A lot of people make a living off the jobs that are in Miami Beach. And in downtown, they're not low-paying jobs, all right? A lot of them are actually pretty good-paying jobs. And so... Those centers of commerce that where the jobs are being created, they have those. That's the reason why you look at Miami Beach and you look at downtown, okay? And that's also where the density is, where you have the density that's needed in order to make those projects actually viable because you have the ridership. In other areas of town, you don't have that kind of density. And so when I talked about we need to connect those centers where we have density, where you have a large number of riders that will make the system viable. We can't have a system that is upside down. I mean, look, all public transit that I know of is subsidized to a certain point. But you have to have some kind of return on that subsidy. It can't be 100% subsidy where you're losing 100% on every passenger that goes on there simply because you know, that means that everybody else has to pay for that passenger. So, you know, you got to look at density. You got to look at the centers of commerce. You need to look at the centers of employment, and you need to connect those. Those are the first that come. And then later, as you can afford it, then you branch out to other areas of the community.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Call. Yes.
Yeah. How do you know, right now in the Herald today, there was an ad that MDX, Miami-Dade Expressway Authority, wants to sell some $340 million in bonds. How do you feel? What do you feel? Do you feel there's adequate coordination between, for example, MDX and what they're trying to do and what the county on a holistic aspect is trying to do as far as mass transit? Or
well, I think there's a vision at the leadership of MDX to cooperate. That's all handled at the MPO level, which is the commissioners and some representatives from municipalities are basically the board of the MPO, and then there's a board executive director. I know that when I've spoken to MDX and talked to them about the ability of co-location rights of way. Which would make sense for us. They've been very open to that. MDX has its own. You know, MDX is about expressway authorities, cars, and expanding expanding their network to make it easier to move around. But is it as good as it could be? No, it's not as good as it could be. It could be better. And I'm also seeing if MDX could actually take on some of these mass transit projects as an entity. Because they have a funding source, they have a very reliable funding source, and so we need to
which
work closer together. Yeah, which we need, yeah. But we need to work closer together,
right.
So that it's not just about cars, but it's also about mass transit solutions. And I think MDX can be a part of the solution. We need to work closer with them.
Let me weigh in a little bit because I like to tell you a little bit about some of the coordination that does exist. I mean, some of the best transit projects around the country are bus rapid transit projects where you actually take a bus and you put them on a freeway and the bus can move freely through it and be very reliable. And we've been working with MDX to do exactly that along the 836 corridor. Now, I'll tell you, one of the issues is we need to make sure that the DOT, the Department of Transportation, really finishes that great interchange at the 836 and the Palmetto fast, because until that happens, we can't get those buses in on the Dolphin. But we're pretty excited about trying to put bus rapid transit along everywhere MDX has a freeway.
Okay. Well, Alan in Palm Springs has been waiting a very long time. Alan, you're on Topical Currents. Welcome.
Alan from Palm Springs North. Oh, not that long, especially for Dan and Carlos. Hello, gentlemen. Hello. And I know I've met the lady that's director of transit that's on now. In any event, it's all about money when you get right down to it. First, money with regard to improvements, anything dealing with new industry, new technology, with regard to taxi cabs, you're going to have the taxi lobby. And there's tremendous money that goes to our commissioners, not to buy their vote, but to influence their vote. And we'll leave it at that. Then, to expand and extend Metrorail, my God, you know what we're spending now and how many few and how few people it services, but it has increased wonderfully from, say, 15 years ago. So, and I'm just because I'm 71 and I don't use it. I love my car and I love my audiobooks. I'm going to vote in favor of anything that will be to make Miami-Dade more of a world-class area. And we need transportation. Let me leave it with this. I agree with Commissioner Bovo and at the same time agree with the mayor. And always remember this. We are in a subtropical climate with lots and lots and lots and lots of rain. Take care, everyone.
Okay, Alan, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Anybody want to comment?
Yes, we do have a lot of rain.
We do. And,
okay, yes.
And we move about 80,000 passengers on Metrorail per day, so that's pretty good numbers.
But if the system were actually a system, we could move a lot more people. And we have a line. We have a couple of lines. And they take people from certain places that they want to go to other places. But it's not like, you know, when you get into a subway system in New York or Washington, D.C., where you can actually get to just about anywhere you wanted to go on that. We don't have that. And like that $60 billion number I was talking to you about,
yes.
That's basically how do we replicate New York. It's about $60 billion, okay? And for, you know, we don't have that kind of a system yet. We need to do that, I think, you know, one step at a time and get those areas that have the greatest need in terms of numbers of people and then move on to those areas that would have fewer people. But and those areas right now are being serviced by buses. I'm very excited about bus rapid transit on the new extension of expressways. And we also have to look to new technology that's around the corner that may just revolutionize the way we get around town.
Anthony's in Boca Raton. We just have about 30 seconds. Anthony, welcome to Topical Currents.
Hey, thank you very much for allowing me to get on the show. I did sit on the city council for 5 years in Boca and the MPO for 5 years. I've been a critic, although I think the mass transit is novel. The idea of the train, what's going to happen is developers are seizing upon the opportunity to increase densities around the show. And with all due respect, the mayor even said we need to bring it into density hubs. And instead of building, you know, residential apartments with or condos with 200 units, they'll now have 400 or 500 units. Because they want to have full ridership on these trains from day one. But any traffic engineer will tell you that transit is only going to pick up about 2 to 5% of the new trips. So we're actually going to, by bringing that train in, allowing for the transit-oriented development as the legislature defined
okay.
it.
Okay, sorry to cut you off, Anthony, but okay. We're just about out of time. Dan?
If anyone wants, the Watchdog Report's at watchdogreport.net, or if you want to email me, it's at publisher@watchdogreport.net. It's free. There's no ads.
Okay, and Mayor Jimenez, thank you for being with us. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, it's... like I said, transit and transportation are one of the two major issues that every major corporation asks about. We need to get on it and have different kinds of solutions. It's not going to be one. It's not. There's no one trick pony here. There's a lot of different solutions to solve our problem.
Thanks for being with us, and Yasella Yart, thank you so much. Topical Currents returns tomorrow. Producers.